The following podcast will contain spoilers and explicit language. Hello and welcome to episode 22 of...
Yeah, It's That Bad.
My name is Joel.
And I'm Martin.
This is the show that looks at supposedly bad movies and asks the question, is it really that bad? And what that boils down to is that we look at movies that are rotten on Rotten Tomatoes and we reevaluate that score. Does it really deserve to be that low? Tonight's movie is 2007's Transformers, directed by Michael Bay, starring Shia LaBeouf, John Turturro, Josh Duhamel, Tyrese Gibson, Megan Fox, Peter Cullen, Hugo Weaving, Mark Ryan, Bernie Mac, and John Voight. Transformers is a science fiction action film based on the Transformers toy line. This movie currently holds a 57% on Rotten Tomatoes. How about a plot synopsis?
When teenager Sam Witwicky buys his first car, he inadvertently becomes involved in a war between the heroic Autobots and the evil Decepticons, two factions of alien robots who can disguise themselves by transforming into everyday machinery. The Decepticons desire control of the Allspark, the object that created their robotic race, with the intention of using it to build an army by giving life to the machines of Earth.
Okay, Martin, Transformers, what's your history with this?
I think like everybody else our age, we play with the toys and watch the cartoon. I was pretty excited to see what they would do with it when it came out, so I saw it in the theaters.
This is a huge movie. This is probably one of the biggest movies of that year, if not the biggest. Everybody was excited for it. I remember I went to go see it with like 12 people. It was a huge group.
Hopes were riding high on this one.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I enjoyed the cartoon as much as everybody else, but I don't really hold it in that much esteem today as I did as a kid. All right, so when I initially saw this movie, I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I gave it a 1. I think it was one of the first movies I ever gave a 1 to, actually. This and Aliens vs. Predator are the first movies I ever gave a 1 out of 5 to, when the 1 to 5 system was initiated. Martin, let's just like dive into this thing. Let's discuss the actors, and we'll see how you thought they did. All right, starting off, Shia LaBeouf.
I thought he was all right. He did his stereotypical Shia LaBeouf type acting. I've watched him kind of grow as an actor. Even now, in comparison to Transformers, I think he's actually gotten a lot better.
Yeah, you know, Shia LaBeouf has a lot of haters out there, but I like him. I'm a Shia LaBeouf fan.
No, he's generally likable.
I enjoy watching him in whatever he's in. He's a good addition to whatever movie you're watching. Okay, next up, Megan Fox.
I found her so attractive to the point that it was distracting for me.
I agree.
She actually took me a little bit out of the plot of the movie.
You know, especially like when it comes to Michael Bay, he has this thing where everything looks like it's like slathered in like baby oil and it's like glistening and sweating.
Yeah.
That was not helping me while Megan Fox glistening everywhere. You know, I thought she did a good job with this movie. I mean, they really didn't give her much to do or much to say. Pretty good breakout role for her, right?
Yeah, sure.
Next up, the two military men, Josh Duhamel and Tyrese Gibson. I'm just going to lump them together because...
I only know Tyrese Gibson.
Josh Duhamel, he's Fergie's husband. And Tyrese Gibson, he's our old buddy from Legion.
I don't know if he's a good actor because I don't think any movie ever gives him enough lines to determine whether or not he's capable.
Yeah, the poor guy, he only says like 10 words per movie. Oh, well. All right. Peter Cullen, he was Optimus Prime. Awesome.
He's always great. Yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, that's all that needs to be said, that he was really cool. Okay, Hugo Weaving played Megatron. I thought this was kind of a pointless thing, kind of wasted.
I think he said maybe 15, 20 words in the entire movie.
Less. And not only that, it didn't even sound like Hugo Weaving. So it was like, why even have Hugo Weaving? Why not have the guy who was the original voice of Megatron? All right. Some of the other side people in this movie, Bernie Mac.
Phenomenal.
He was great.
He was very funny. He was exemplary.
In a movie that tried really hard to make you laugh, but fell on its face over and over again, Bernie Mac was one of the few people that actually succeeded.
He was funny, and Shia LaBeouf's parents were kind of funny.
Yes, they stole the show.
His father, specifically, was very funny.
Okay, and finally, John Voight. Not feeling it.
Did you believe that he was the Secretary of State? Because I didn't.
Nope. All right, Martin, let's just dive into this thing. Transformers. As a kid, I always had the question, where the hell do these Transformers come from? Who built them? What are they? What's going on?
Yeah.
But according to this movie, apparently there's like a magical cube that somehow gave birth to the robot race.
Yeah, like spontaneously generates life out of metal.
Yeah, and machines.
Metal objects and machines. So it's like, it's kind of like God for them, I think.
Yeah, it's like their deity. And it comes to Earth.
Why?
I have no idea.
How did it get into outer space?
The Transformers came here looking for it. Back in what, like 1,000 years ago or something?
No, you said Megatron landed 10,000 years ago.
He landed in the Arctic. It was frozen in the ice. We cut forward in the future and we meet Shia LaBeouf. He's a goofy high school kid.
Just like how I was in high school. I can really relate to him.
Yeah. I mean, Shia LaBeouf, Megan Fox, and the other high school guy that they have in this movie, these guys look like they're 30. Like that... I mean, I know it's like a foregone conclusion that when you cast a movie and there's high school kids, you're going to get people that look older. But this was extreme looking. Like, these people do not look like high schoolers at all. And they actually had, like, real high schoolers intermingled with the 30-year-olds.
And it made them look really out of place.
They really stuck out. They look like real, like, children.
There's, like, a little kid in the class with them.
Yeah, there's, like, a baby in the room.
I mean, like, everybody else in the class is 30, except for this, like, there's, like, an actual, like, 11-year-old in there. It's like, huh?
Yeah, so right off the bat, we might as well just say that this movie, and I think most people going into it realize that this movie is essentially a series of action scenes strung together by a nonsensical plot. Or a non-existent plot is probably a better way to say it.
I think that's what everybody wanted, though, because, I mean, you can't argue with the results. $709 million.
Yeah, and everybody was just like, hey, what did you expect, you know?
It's a Michael Bay movie.
Ooh, what did you expect? I don't know what it was when I first saw this movie that made me so angry about it, but I felt a lot more lenient towards it. I mean, compared to Waterworld, this is a masterpiece. Really. The way we're introduced to our first Transformer is that Shia LaBeouf wants to buy a car. He wants to buy a car so he can impress a girl, the girl being Megan Fox. And he goes to a used car lot dealership, and apparently Bumblebee, who is the yellow car,
has been stalking him.
Yes, he's been stalking him the whole time, and he kind of hid himself among the used cars, and Shia LaBeouf buys him. And later on, we see that Shia LaBeouf gives Megan Fox a ride home, and Bumblebee starts interfering. Like, he pretends to stall out.
He starts playing, like, Marvin Gaye and Isaac Hayes.
The strong implication being that he wants them to have sex inside of him.
Why?
Why would an alien robot give a shit about human sex? But the one thing that I thought was really funny about this sequence is that this whole thing takes place after school. So it has to be at least, like, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the springtime.
Yeah.
They say, oh, Megan Fox, she lives 10 minutes down the street. And the sun is blazing. And the sun is so high and hot in the sky. Everybody's sweating. And there's, like, lens flares everywhere. And they go, oh, I'll give you a ride home. 10 minutes. And when they get to her house,
it is pitch black outside.
It's nighttime. Like, what happened?
They do that in Scott Pilgrim, but they do it on purpose as, like, a joke. In this movie, that was going on quite a bit. And it made no sense at all.
That's not the only time that happens, too. Like, where someone drives down the street for 5 minutes and they, like, a 10-minute trip takes 10 hours for some reason. While all this is happening, on the other side of the planet, we see, like, there's a military base where Tyrese and Josh Duhamel and all those other guys are hanging out, and a helicopter comes down, lands, and it transforms. We get to see our first transformation.
And it was very cool.
I have to admit, it looked great. The people that did the special effects on this movie, they deserve to be commended. I actually watched a little YouTube documentary about it. I'll post a link to this on yesthatbad.com. It's worth checking out to see how much effort these guys put in to this movie. And it's really unbelievable. Like, the helicopter transforms into a robot, and it was amazing looking. You can't fault that, right? So yeah, so this robot transforms and it starts raising hell. It's
and
blowing everything
yeah,
up.
We get our first fight scene in the movie.
All this stuff that's going on is just a diversion for the Decepticons, the evil robots, to hack into the military's servers and get some information. When this happens, John Voight, who's the Secretary of State, he has, like, a press conference and tells the world, we just got hacked.
And we're weak and vulnerable.
Defenseless.
Who did this?
Why would they do that? Why would they announce it to the world? I don't understand that. The next character that we're introduced to is this Australian signal expert. When the Decepticons hacked the server, they emitted this sort of strange signal that no one's ever seen. So this girl, she jumps to the conclusion, instead of thinking that, oh, maybe the Russians created this new kind of technology or something interesting like that. No, she jumps immediately to, this looks like an organism, like a new organic life form created it. We're talking quantum mechanics here. What? Instead of thinking that, like, oh, maybe another country did this, you jump right to technology that doesn't even exist. You know, and this is probably as good a time as any to talk about one of the biggest complaints with this movie is, like, you go into the Transformers movie and you want to see robots fighting each other. There are a ton of these pointless characters and subplots in this movie that by the end of the day don't amount to anything. They don't do anything. Like, if all these different people weren't in the movie would have ended the exact same way with or without them. Okay, so it's around this point where Shia LaBeouf learns that his car is really a transformer called Bumblebee, and he transforms and talks to him. And for reasons I don't fully understand, maybe you can explain this for me, Bumblebee doesn't speak. Instead, he randomly generates sound clips from the radio, and he uses that
to communicate with them. I think they said that his vocal processor was damaged.
Really?
Yeah.
So you can just randomly fiddle with the radio dial and you can get exactly what you need to say?
I guess. I don't know. I feel like that these machine organisms are so complex that this wouldn't be a big problem for them.
Oh, the fix is vocal cords?
Yeah, why is that a problem?
When Optimus Prime and the rest of the boys show up, Shia LaBeouf is like, oh, wow, you guys can speak English? That's amazing. And he goes, oh, we learned it.
To the World Wide Web.
All right, yeah, so why aren't they saying, like, LOL? And like,
more M-O-A-R.
Yeah, you know, other stupid things like that. All right, so you're like, let's talk about the Transformers themselves, right? So we have Optimus Prime. I mean, most people that grew up in the 80s like we did, we all know what Optimus Prime looks like. He's this big boxy looking guy, and he's got like a face mask, kind of like a ninja.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And all the Transformers, they're all really boxy looking. They're just like cubes. They've radically redesigned them in this movie. And what do you think of the redesign?
I don't like Optimus's too much. I like Megatron's. I think that looks very cool. I liked most of the way that the Decepticons looked, and I disliked a lot of the way that they made the Autobots look. Like, they gave Optimus Prime a metal mouth that moved around like it was made out of flesh. That didn't make sense to me.
I have something about that right here. He said, according to Lorenzo Di Bonaventura, during the designing of the Transformers, as a test, Optimus Prime was first designed in CGI in his classic boxy look from Transformers. But he looked fake and boring, so the robots were designed in a more intricate three-dimensional image to be more realistic and to reflect their alien origins. Now, I don't like the design of most of these things. Like, I don't like the fact that Optimus Prime has these racing stripes all over him.
Oh, he's got the flames.
Yeah, I think that's just stupid looking. I hate the fact that he has lips. I think that's horrible looking. Because it's his face, his robo face, looks dumb. It looks really dumb.
It looks like it's supposed to be like organic, but it's shiny like metal, so it really kind of throws you off.
Yeah, he does have a face mask that he puts on later on. He just should have had that on the entire time.
They could have saved some money animating.
Yeah, that's true. And then there's like, what was it? It was Jazz. He was the one that had like the ethnic stereotype.
Yeah, it was what's kicking, bitches? I think that was one of his first lines.
Oh, man. That's the kind of stuff that if you said it in the 1980s, and as a kid, you're like, all right, great. But as an adult, I hear that, and my eyes are just rolling.
Yeah. No, he says, what's kicking, bitches, and immediately says, this is a cool place to kick it, and then he spins around like he's breakdancing and like sits on the back of a car. He's like, yeah, folds his leg up. And yeah, I did almost the exact same thing as you. I was like, oh, just rolled my eyes at it because it looked super forced, really ridiculous, and just made it stupid.
I just wrote down here that the Autobots are a joke. That was my, that's my note. I wrote that these guys are a joke.
Did the Decepticons talk at all besides Starscream?
When the Decepticons talked in this movie, they use like a weird alien language, and they had their hieroglyphic subtitles.
It looked like cool. Japanese to me.
Yeah, it looked cool. I like the way they did that. After this, we go to one of the big showpiece scenes that everybody loves in this movie, is when it's like a scene straight out of E.T. where the little boy is trying to hide the alien from the parents or whatever.
They're all hiding around outside of the house, causing havoc. I had a huge problem with the scene physics-wise.
All right, so these robots are, what, 20 feet tall?
Bigger than that, because the house has got to be about 35 feet tall, and they're above the house.
And whenever they walk, everything shakes.
Yeah, I think the dad mistook their walking around the yard for an earthquake.
And they're speaking loudly to each other.
Loudly.
And their house is surrounded by other houses.
No one noticed this.
No one noticed that.
That's not like the biggest problem I had with the scene. The biggest problem I had with the scene was where they're trying to hide and Optimus Prime kind of like inches himself up onto their house to hide and the house didn't collapse.
Yeah,
I feel like he would have just killed everybody inside. It would have just totally destroyed the house.
Like if you put a car on the roof of someone's house, it would collapse through. Yeah, so this is the scene where like the parents show up and they actually say some funny stuff. Hey, Shia, what are you doing in here? Why are you so dirty and filthy?
And then his response is, I'm a teenager. I'm dirty. Come on.
I'm a child. Yeah.
I'm a child.
That's actually a good. That's actually funny. I like Shia LaBeouf. You know, he got me there. He got a good smile out of me.
The mother immediately went to the very uncomfortable masturbation question.
Yeah, what are you jerking off
what
in here?
What are you jerking it?
Even the dad is a face. Yeah, like, oh.
This was really great because I actually laughed at the father's response. It was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? And then Shia LaBeouf was like doing the exact same thing. He's like, Mom, come on.
Please.
Please. He's like, Well, you know, you just call it Sam's Happy Time. And it's like, honey.
Yeah, they're like, what the hell are you doing in here? Why is the door locked? What's going on in here? And then Megan Fox pops up from the corner. She's like, hi. And then when the dad sees Megan Fox, he's like, whoa.
And he pounds his son's hand. He gives him a fist pound.
He's like, and now it's at this point, like, John Turturro shows up. And now John Turturro, this man is an actor.
Oh, he's a phenomenal actor.
This guy, I'm not exaggerating when I say that he's a better actor than everybody in this movie combined.
No, you're not exaggerating at all, but...
Do the Right Thing, Well, Brother, Where Art Thou?
But he doesn't show it in this movie.
This guy is immense. He's an immense talent, and...
Squandered.
I feel bad for him. Like, the stuff that they had him do in this movie, like, he was so annoying and over the top.
It actually made me angry. The stuff he was doing and the way he behaved.
Yeah, it was really, really stupid.
There was a scene where they had him stripped down, and he was part of this government agency called S7. He had a super, like a really dumb S7 logo that looked like the Superman emblem on his underwear.
It was unbelievable. It was just so dumb. Okay, so yeah, now here comes another Michael Bay thing. Like, he loves to shoehorn in like sentimentality into his stuff, just like pointless sentimentality. So John Turturro informs Shia LaBeouf that, hey, you know, Megan Fox, she's got a criminal record. She's been to juvie. Her dad is a criminal.
But he made a point to explain it in such a way that it was clear that it was not her fault in any way at all.
No.
Not her fault at all. In fact, if anything, if I was with her, I'd feel really bad for her because she was a victim of this.
But then Shia LaBeouf turns around
and gives her a scathing, indicting look like she's like filth, like worse than filth. He's like, you disgust me.
It's like, why are you angry at her? You barely know her to begin with. And like, and this is offensive to you?
And then you hear a story where her father was a criminal and took advantage of her. Because they were too poor to afford a babysitter, he stole cars with her there.
I'm like, Shia, you just talked to her for the first time today. And now you feel like this is the ultimate betrayal? All right, you know, and it's at this point where Optimus Prime, he shows up.
He essentially grabs the roof of their car, picks it up in the air about 15 feet, and it just separates. And they drop 15 feet to the ground, glass shatters everywhere.
Yeah.
He rips the roof off the car, right?
I actually like this scene because he had like his headlights blaring out. It was cool looking.
It was cool looking. No one got hurt.
I'll tell you what wasn't cool looking though after this was John Turturro is there. He's standing there and he's talking to Optimus Prime. And then Bumblebee unscrews his codpiece and takes a hot oily piss on John Turturro's head.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy with
that. He leaks gasoline all over him like he's taking a piss on this guy. This guy is an amazing actor and pissing on him.
He's giving him a golden shower. Bumblebee is giving John Turturro a golden shower.
This is the worst. Like, I remember seeing that in the theater and just being offended by that. I was really like angry when I saw that.
Right after this, he had his teammate had the entire conversation on speakerphone, so everybody else in the secret organization was alerted to what was going on. And then you get all these Black Hawk helicopters and all this other type of secret, you know, organization stuff coming to, I guess, capture them. So they try to escape, and Bumblebee gets captured.
Okay, now...
Something ridiculous happens in this scene that bothered me immensely. Do you remember what it was?
I think I know what you're going to say, but I'll say this. When I saw this initially back in 2007, it was this scene right here that made me want to just get up and leave. Like, I actually contemplated just getting up and walking away and getting out of the theater. Because this scene is just ridiculous. It's like, they capture Bumblebee, and the reason that he gives for not fighting back is stupid. Like, oh, I don't want to hurt the humans or whatever.
Why does he have any type of remorse for them?
I don't know. They didn't spend any time making us care about the Transformers at all. The movie's called Transformers, but they're secondary to Shia LaBeouf. Like, this is the Shia LaBeouf movie, pretty much.
Right? Yeah.
He's the character that we care about. And I don't give a shit about the robots. Like, who cares if a robot lives or dies, right?
Or gets shot at with fire extinguishers.
It's a machine, whatever. Like, as far as I'm concerned, only Wall-E has been able to pull this off where you actually care, like, what a robot is feeling or thinking.
What about Johnny Five?
Yeah, he was really alive. I really...
Johnny Five was alive.
So I hated this scene. This was the most eye-rolling, groaning thing. But what was it about it that offended you?
The thing that offended me the most was when they were hiding from Section 7 in the undercarriage of a bridge. And he accidentally drops Megan Fox and Shia LaBeouf like 30 feet.
Yeah.
And to soften their landing, he kicks them.
Optimus Prime drop kicks Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox.
I would imagine that you would just instantly die or explode or something, but... I guess this was him trying to soften their fall.
you know what was another interesting thing that was going on in this scene, right? So the way that they captured Bumblebee is that they had these kind of like, I don't know if it was like liquid nitrogen or whatever.
It just looked like fire extinguishers to me.
Yeah, they had like these fire extinguishers that they were shooting, and like the cold was hurting Bumblebee. So let me get this straight. Cold from a fire extinguisher hurts the Transformers, but flying through the empty 0 degree of space, it's no problem for them.
This is a constant plot hole in this movie that bothers me. Why are they affected by cold? I don't get it. What is freezing about them? They're made up of metal. There's nothing to freeze. There's no water in their body. They're not organic. They don't need water to transport. The only liquid thing that they even show in this movie is, you know, Bumblebee pissing on John Turturro. So, I mean, like, I guess if Bumblebee's filled with piss, he might freeze. But other than that, I don't see why any of them are affected by cold. That's the way that they're keeping, I guess, Megatron captured, right? They have him frozen.
After this, they take Shia LaBeouf and everybody else to the Hoover Dam. And we come to find out that Cube that gave birth to them was discovered in like the early 1900s, and President Hoover built the Hoover Dam around it. First, they show Megatron, who's, what was it? He was there 1,000 years ago or something?
10,000 years ago.
Okay. And they say something that made me give me a double take when they go, Shia LaBeouf apparently knows the intricacies of the Decepticons' plans. And he says, the whole reason that Megatron came to Earth in the first place was because he wanted to use the AllSpark, the giant cube, to transform Earth's technology and make like soldiers out of them. Because apparently they show that if you take the energy from the AllSpark and funnel it to like a cell phone, it turns into a transformer. So any kind of technology. But hold on. He comes here 1,000, 10,000 years ago. What the hell is he going to transfigure? Arrowheads?
Yeah. That was a huge plot hole. That didn't make any sense.
Yeah, and then like the other Decepticons, they know that Megatron is there, so they all converge and attack the Hoover Dam, right? And everybody's running around and rushing around, and Megatron is waking up, and all this crazy stuff is happening.
It's at this point where they reach a fork in the road about their decision about whether the Autobots are need to be studied and captured, or they need to join forces with them. For some reason, this little tiny infantry unit, shoehorn subplot of these soldiers,
Tyrese and Josh Duhamel,
side with Shia LaBeouf's character, which they've never met before. They've never met him.
Not
only do they side with him, they're willing to die for his
Let me set this up. What happens is, all right, they're all walking down and they're in this thing, and you're right, they have an argument about what to do. And John Turturro says, no, we cannot release Bumblebee. Absolutely not. And Shia LaBeouf says, you have to release him because he'll help us fight. John Turturro says no. And so Josh Duhamel grabs a gun and puts it at John Turturro's head.
He puts a Desert Eagle right to his face.
A guy who's like 10,000 times his superior.
Yeah.
Up to his head.
He's like above classified for the president.
Yeah. And then Tyrese pulls his weapon too. Like, these guys are willing to commit treason for this, right? So my question is this: the only encounter that these guys have with Transformers
is really negative.
Extremely negative. They were almost killed like twice. And they're like, oh yeah, let the giant robot loose. Go ahead.
But that being said, yeah, you're right. All their experiences with these organisms are negative. So how would they be able to tell the difference between Autobots and Decepticons? To me, they look very similar. If I just was walking down the street, I'd be like, these are the same things.
Yeah. And eventually they do let Bumblebee loose, and he goes to the AllSpark.
And violates physics.
Yeah, the laws of physics are shattered here, because the AllSpark is the size of, like, it's
this
enormous
giant cavern under the Hoover Dam.
Yeah, they had to build a dam to conceal it. It's that big. It's massive, right? And they said, like, in the behind-the-scenes stuff, that they spent a lot of time making sure that the Transformers are the same size of what they transform into. Like it makes sense that they actually took the time to do the physics on it. Okay, so the AllSpark is the size of like two buildings on top of each other, and it just collapses in upon itself.
The AllSpark is the same shape and size as Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, and it collapses into the size of like a little box, right? This tiny box.
Yeah, it collapsed into a GameCube.
Yeah. It's like a box. It's like 10 inches by 10 inches, this cube. And Bumblebee gives it over to Shia LaBeouf,
who could just hold it.
That thing must weigh a million pounds.
It would have the density of like a neutron star. Like it would start sucking things into its gravitational pull. It's been shrunken so much.
Hey, Shia, here you go. Foof. You just throw it, toss it at it. It's like, oh, thanks. And it weighs like a cardboard. Because in the next few scenes, Shia LaBeouf is running around with this thing, and it looks like it just weighs as much as a cardboard box.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Unbelievable. That really bothered me. I like the way, you know what though? It looked cool the way that it transformed and collapsed.
Yeah, it reminded me of Hellraiser, cube.
Or like a Rubik's Cube shrinking into itself. At this point, the Decepticons attack the Hoover Dam and knock out all of the power that's generated to keep Megatron frozen, keep the cryogenics going. As that gets shut down, he starts to thaw, I guess, really quickly, like within an hour. And he says, "I am Megatron," in English. He landed here 10,000 years ago. I don't think English existed yet. I don't know how he knows English, but apparently he is Megatron English.
Not only that, but all the other Decepticons this entire movie were talking their own language.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, when Megatron shows up, they switch. They're like, oh, let's just start talking English now. So this is when all the robots, they all converge on Los Angeles, and they have this enormous Michael Bay battle scene.
You know what's really funny? This is something that was interesting about Megatron in this scene. They show you how big he is in comparison to other Transformers. He's at least 4 or 5 times the size of all the other ones. He rips Jazz in half.
Yeah.
He's much larger.
So this fight scene is actually it's kind of interesting because like there's so much going on. There's almost too much going on in this scene. Like it goes from like slow-mo ballerina matrixy kind of action, and then it cuts to extreme close-ups and shaky cam. So much so that it's hard to follow what's going on in this fight. There was just so much going on. Things were flying left and right. It's hard to keep track what the hell was happening.
It was confusing to me. I didn't actually understand what was going on.
If they pulled the camera back a little bit, we'd be able to follow it. Yeah, so like Shia LaBeouf's mission in this is he has to get to the... It's just like in a video game. Shia LaBeouf's mission is like he has to reach the checkpoint on top of the building and like set off a flare and pass off the AllSpark to the military or whatever. Why give it to Shia LaBeouf? Like, any of the robots could have gotten there faster and quicker.
I wouldn't have given it to the military either. I feel like an Autobot would have been probably safer with it.
And it's at this point that the AllSpark starts shooting radiation everywhere and, like, just random technology in the area starts transforming. And we get a Mountain Dew robot, a Mountain Dew vending machine comes to life.
And, like, an Xbox 360 robot.
Comes to life. And it's like, that is just product placement gone wrong right there. All right, so you know, Megatron's walking around through the streets, and Josh Duhamel, he actually shows up, and he actually does something in the plot. So he does,
the motorcycle?
Yeah.
This is crazy. Unreal.
This is crazy. He's on a motorcycle, and he's driving towards Megatron, and... he jumps off the motorcycle.
He's going to be going like 150 miles an hour.
And see if you can picture this in your mind. He drops on the ground and he's sliding on the road with his feet towards Megatron. Like he's sliding into home base and he's going like 100 miles an hour, scraping against the concrete.
And then starts firing grenades at Megatron's groin.
His head is like touching the street. Oh, that was a great shot. And he gets up and he's like, no problem. Just dusts himself off and runs away. And at this point, Optimus Prime says that, like, if it comes down to it, you need to take that box.
And put it inside me.
Shove it inside me.
So hot.
I don't understand what the point of that is, because eventually Shia LaBeouf murders Megatron by using the AllSpark. So all these super robots were ineffectual against him, but one little boy with his magic box kills him. This is what I don't get. Like,
this box is supposed to give life.
This box creates life. That's the whole point of it. Like, it creates life. So Shia LaBeouf rams it inside of Megatron, and you would think that Megatron would like evolve into like a new super being. Instead, he just like melts.
Yeah, that was really strange. It is then revealed to us that there was this weird emotional relationship between Optimus Prime and Megatron, where Optimus Prime apologizes and says, "I'm sorry you had to die, brother."
You started like, laughing.
Yeah, I burst out laughing because there was no precedent for that in the movie. That's his brother?
Yeah, okay. So then when it's all said and done, Bumblebee starts talking all of a sudden. I don't know why. They don't explain this at all. Like, he just starts talking in English. And then Optimus Prime is like, "Oh, we lost Jazz."
No, Optimus Prime is holding Jazz's body like they're pieces of trash. Like, they're pieces of like a super value meal like wrapper that he's gonna chuck over his shoulder.
Yeah, you're like, you're saying that, right? Like, imagine like if General Patton was holding like the bisected halves of a human being.
And goes, he was a good soldier.
He was like gaggling them up.
Because it's so ridiculous to me. It's like he was holding his body, his deceased body, in his hands and goes, he was a good soldier.
Yeah, and what, are we supposed to like care that he was a good soldier? Who gives a shit? He never spent any time building up his character. So what? Who cares? And so the movie ends with Megan Fox and Shia LaBeouf getting hot and heavy and kinky on top of
Bumblebee. Bumblebee can speak now?
Yeah.
And also, Bumblebee has decided to stay on Earth and hang out with Shia LaBeouf. So they're like friends. Can you imagine, like, first of all, your friend's a car. That's a little weird. But then you're going to have sex on top of your friend.
Yeah, and then Optimus Prime is like, no, now we live among them in secret. Secret? Like, you just spent the last 30 minutes destroying L.A.
The best is how he's like, and now a message to all the Autobots among the stars that we are here. I'm like, how's this message getting sent out? You're just talking to us. It's a voiceover. I am Optimus Prime. Yeah, and then cue Linkin Park.
Yeah. The end. So that's it. That was Transformers 2007. Marin, let's find out what the real critics had to say about this movie. A movie of especially assaultive noise and nonsense. Manola Dargis, New York Times. Director Michael Bay's bigger-than-life version of the cartoon I grew up loving pretty much ruined one of my favorite childhood memories. Adam Tobias, Watertown Daily Times. It morphs from an army enlisting ad to a toy ad, on its way passing through a panoply of car ads, computer ads, and beer ads without ever becoming an actual movie. Fernando F. Croce, CinePassion. And whatever chance Transformers might have had of being a decent movie disappeared the moment Bay was hired to direct. Jeffrey Westhoff, Northwest Herald. Okay, Martin, this movie currently holds a 57% on Rotten Tomatoes. Is it really that bad?
No, it's not really that bad. I think if you cut out all these scenes where they're trying to cram a plot into the movie and you just had the action scenes, it would be pretty entertaining. That being said, I'm going to give this movie a solid 2 out of 5. I kind of want to lean more towards a 3. If I could give it a 2.5 again, I would, I can't.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I don't know what the hell is going on with me that made me so angry when I saw this the first time in the theaters. Maybe it was the fact that I spent money to see it, and like, it was just this endless barrage of noise and crap. I don't know, but like this time, like I said before, like after watching Waterworld, anything is better than that. So I felt really lenient towards this one. So I feel just like you. Like, I want to give it a 2.5, and I'm really leaning towards a 3, actually. But I'm gonna play it safe. I'll go with a 2. And if I watch it again in the future, maybe I'll give it a 3. You know, but that's the thing. That's the beauty of this show. I'm really glad that I got a chance to rewatch it, because I never would have watched this again if it wasn't for this show. And I can see that there is some merit to this movie. There are some cool things in it.
I don't know about cool, but there's definitely some entertaining moments in this movie.
Okay, you know, Martin, we actually got some voicemails about this movie, which I'll play for you right now.
To listen to your messages, press 1.
Hey guys, you know me, it's JV.
Hi guys, this is Barry from New Mexico.
This is Josh from Tulsa. Hey guys, I'm getting my little mini review of Transformers the movie. My basic opinion of Transformers the movie is it is the ultimate what did you expect movie. I think it's got a 59% Rotten Tomatoes rating, and I can tell you now, that's probably coming from a bunch of people who were expecting way too much of this movie.
Oh my gosh, Transformers! I grew up with this. I think we all got a little bit of a nerd boner when we heard that Peter Cullen was going to be Optimus Prime. I'm pretty sure that we were pretty much all standing, rushing the theater, ready to see this, like, the ultimate iteration of our childhood, our hopes, our dreams, our everything we've ever wanted in movies. It was time, the CG was right, the effects were possible, and Michael Bay shat all over that thing like it was nobody's business.
The thing about it is these people who take it really serious, take their Transformers, read the comic books, whatever, collectors. This movie really wasn't for you. This was for a bunch of teenage boys who maybe didn't know much about Transformers and were just looking for some entertainment.
Please, 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 please donate Transformers. Okay, I know it might not be the greatest of movies ever, and it might star Shia LaBeouf, and it might not have enough robots that turn into cars and other stuff, and Megatron might not turn into a gun, but His arms turned into a gun at one point, which is really awesome. And Optimus Prime is Optimus Prime. I mean, the original voice from the 80s cartoon. You can't ruin this for me. Please, don't.
I remember sitting in the theater thinking, this is good, right? This is good, right? They're transforming, right? Check it out, right? Optimus Prime, right? And it just, I can't remember a single line. I can't remember it being interesting. All I remember was it was about, like, masturbation and growing up a teenager and, like, impossible beautiful women like Megan Fox in your high school. Why? It was so unfortunate that was our movie, that was what we were waiting for, and that's what we got. Bumblebee doesn't talk, and Ironside, like where was Ironhide, man? Ironhide is supposed to be a badass, and he's kind of a douchebag, and I don't understand. Jazz dies, like, you know, he was a great warrior. Oh, well, he kind of throws parks to the side. What? Why? Why did that happen? Why was that Transformers? Why? I hate you, Michael Bay. I hate you.
I think it was a funny movie, actually. Like, even the parents, it was dumb. It was a dumb movie, but I don't think it ever aspired to be any more than that. And for that reason, I don't think it was that bad.
I really liked the movie, even though all the people involved kind of ruined the original idea of the Transformers and, you know, made this funny collapsing cube thing. Okay. You know what? Maybe it is bad.
End of message.
Wow, that was great.
that was definitely good.
That was great. Thanks, guys. Okay, let's read some listener mail. Tom writes in about Waterworld. Tom says, the best character in this movie? The Trimaran boat. It was a cool design, had an almost James Bond kind of gadget appeal, and I kind of felt like the movie was over when it was destroyed. Sort of a DeLorean being hit by a train in Back to the Future 3 kind of thing. But, despite it all, I'm one of the few people that actually like Waterworld. Even with the fact that there would be lots of peaks, and there would still be above the water that nobody could find. And what about the impossible physics of the underwater field trip? Sorry, but she would have been crushed like a grape in order to go down deep enough to see anything. I can forgive the pee recycling scene in the beginning, but if there was enough time for a genetic mutation for the Mariner, how would the Exxon Valdez not be a rusting hulk on the bottom of the ocean? If dirt is so valuable, why does the Mariner go apeshit over paper when he can dive and get it himself? Anyway, I like this movie despite its raging flaws. And Jack writes in, also talking about Waterworld. He says, okay, I just listened to your Waterworld review, and I'll be honest, I have never even seen this movie in its entirety. But even based off your descriptions, I have noticed so many scientific absurdities within the narrative. First of all, if these people are capable of raising all of the steel to presumably build their massive sea cities, how is it difficult to go down and raise dirt? Steel would literally be the worst thing to build a sea city with, if only because all of the wood and lumber from the past world would have already floated to the surface. If the polar ice caps melted, I believe that mountain ranges would still be far above sea level. Current estimates say that the complete melting of the ice caps would cause a 200 feet rise in sea level. The Rocky Mountains alone are 14,440 feet high. In fact, the entire city of Denver would be completely fine. Going along with the ice caps melting, if they did in fact melt, wouldn't the utter lack of forests and vegetation completely ruin the balance of oxygen and carbon dioxide in our atmosphere? The backstory of this film is ridiculous. Okay, thanks for those emails, guys. If you want to contact us, you can reach us at yeahitsthatbad@gmail.com. Okay, as for this week's question of the week, Transformers the movie was a movie that actually made me consider getting up and walking out of the theater. I've never done that before. Have you ever walked out of a movie before? If so, head on over to yeahitsthatbad.com and leave a comment on this episode's page telling us all about it. And remember, we currently have a Waterworld fan fiction contest running. The rules of the contest are, we want you to come up with a better plot for the movie Waterworld, because the plot that they gave us was shit. I hated it.
I actually don't think that this is that difficult.
No, not at all. We already got a bunch of submissions. We got some pretty interesting ones. Whoever comes up with the most interesting plot for our Waterworld movie, you know, they get to flat out decide what movie we review next. So remember, the world has just been flooded. The movie's going to be called Waterworld. How would you write this movie? What would you make it be about? Hurry up, because time's running out, and I'll announce the winner during the next Listener's Choice episode, which is the next one coming up. So if you have an interesting plot, call us at 973-797-9324. 4. This call is free to anyone within the continental United States. Okay, now's the time to announce the winner of the next Listener's Choice episode. And the choices were Armageddon versus Deep Impact. And the winner is...
Armageddon.
There we go. Back to back, Michael Bay. Tune in next week when we will be watching Armageddon. And I know for a fact that a lot of people out there have seen this movie. So please tell me what you thought of Armageddon. I need to know. Leave us a voicemail at 973-797-9324 with your voicemail review, and I will play it on the show. Oh, also, and while we're here, I want to have a quick shout out to our friends out at the We Hate Movies podcast. You know, they're a bad movie podcast that explores the world of bad movies, and they get into character motivations, absurdities, and plots, and go into interesting and funny and informative tangents. These guys do really good work. So if you like our show,
and you ever get a chance, check them out.
Yeah,
by all means.
Yeah, they're at whmpodcast.com. They're on iTunes, Facebook, and you can follow them on Twitter at whmpodcast. And I recommend, if you're a new listener, you can check out Congo, Superman 3 or 4, and K-9. Those are all really good episodes you can check out. So check those guys out. They're good friends of the show. Okay, guys, thank you for listening to our show. If you enjoyed the show, please consider subscribing. We have a new episode every Tuesday. Please help us get the word out about the show by liking us on Facebook and talking about us on Twitter. And you can do both of those things from yeahitsthatbad.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at yeahitsbad. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. I have here something really interesting from my dark checkered past. I dove deep into the net and I looked and I found a message board post that I had written back on July 5th, 2007 at 3:06 a.m.
Because it couldn't wait.
It could not wait. I was in such a rage. I had to get my feelings out there to the internet. So if I may, a dramatic reading about me, starring me, by me. This movie was a shaky cam nightmare. It was almost impossible to keep track of the action because the shots were zoomed in really close and shaking like crazy, or panning left and right really fast, which is a shame because I think some of the action towards the end would have looked amazing if it was actually shot competently. Wow, I'm an asshole.
Man, you are.
John Turturro.
You're really hate-filled.
John Turturro was garbage.
What?
Wow.
Are you trying to help people decide whether they want to see this movie, or are you just venting? Like, I don't get this.
And finally, Jazz's dialogue was horrible. I actually contemplated walking out. So there you go. 2007 Joel has spoken.
That actually cuts down a lot of my material about what I want to talk about in this movie.